lives among us. All that he does, all of his mercy, and all of his love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain.
Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. So good to me, precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so
saves. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in a harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed.
He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down,
rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been
right, wonderful. Anybody got anything against being blessed? I think we all have we not? Boy, we look at our life and see what God has done. It's incredible that He has brought us to where we are today and has extended His grace and mercy in our life. You know, folks, we shouldn't take just the week of Thanksgiving to not only to be thankful and count our blessings. That's something we ought to do on a regular basis. That ought to be incorporated into your devotion time, is thanking God. And if you don't have anything to thank God for, come see me. I'll give you some things to thank Him for and in the church here. Well, we're going to continue on our study, and I actually got to thinking. I thought, you know, there's no school tomorrow. And then I thought, well, you know how we get in habits. We're going to continue our study tonight about examination. And remember, we talked about, by the way, you can go ahead and take your Bible and turn with me. We're going to look at several passages. I'll meet you in Psalm 44 here in just a moment. Jeremiah 17, Galatians 6. Okay, Psalm 44, Jeremiah 17, and Galatians 6. Now, remember in our study, we spent several weeks talking about self-examination, looking into our own heart, looking at ourselves in the mirror, looking at ourselves in reflection as far as what we're supposed to be as far as a Christian, and what the Bible outline is for us and how we're to walk in this new life that we have in Christ. And we talked about self-examination, looking at ourselves and determining, what am I portraying to others about me? What reputation have I built among not only my peers at work, but also my fellow churchgoers? What kind of reputation have I built among them? You know, if someone called your name out, what could they say about you that would be honoring to Christ? Or if your name was mentioned, could someone say, oh me, oh me? That's self-examination, examining ourselves to look inside to find out what's inside. And the reason we don't like that is because a lot of times we look inside, there's a lot of ugly stuff there. And we don't like that self-examination, but it has to be done. Then we talked about, for the last several weeks, talking about examination by men. You will be examined by people. People will look. Remember, we talked about they will examine you by your words. They will examine you by the things that you do, your ways, and they will also examine you by your walk. And so people will examine you based on those three criteria. And then we're going to look at, beginning tonight, and probably go tonight, next Wednesday, and the Wednesday after that, studying the examination by God. So we've talked about self-examination, examination by men. Now we're going to start getting down to the nitty-gritty, and we're going to start looking at being examined by your Creator now, and how He looks at us and how He examines us. Now I want you to take your Bible, Psalm 44. Would you stand with me? I'm going to meet you there in just a moment, but I'm going to read you a passage out of 1 Samuel chapter 16, one that we started off with some time ago in our study. As you know, this will be familiar to you, because this is where Samuel is looking for the next anointed man of God to lead Israel. And of course, as we know, Jesse's sons are running in front of him, one after the next after the next. But God comes to verse number 7. He says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth." Why? Because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. "So the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." God's looking inside. He's looking what's going on inside us, because He understands that what's going on inside us will soon become what is appearing outside as well. And so God looks upon the heart. Are you there with me in Psalm 44 and verse 21? The psalmist says, "Shall not God search this out?" Now notice this, "For He knoweth the secrets of the heart." He doesn't just look upon the heart. He knows the secrets of the heart. He's talking about those things that we think that we're hiding from God because we don't verbalize them, we just think them. And because we think certain things, we think, oh my goodness, I'm not going to say anything or do anything. Somebody might know what I'm thinking. Well, God already knows what you're thinking. And he's talking about he knows the secrets of the heart. All right, Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. So here once again, we have consistency through Scripture where God is saying, I see the heart, I look upon the heart, I know the secrets of the heart. Here Jeremiah says, now he searches the heart. And there he will give according to man, according to his ways, and according to his doings. Now, you're with me now in the New Testament in Galatians chapter number 6. Paul writes, brethren, anytime you see that, we automatically know who's he talking to. He's talking to us, believers. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then verse number 7, one of the most heart-wrenching verses in all the Bible. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, stop, time out. Is that not kind of what he just said in Jeremiah 17:10? That he will reward according to our ways and our works and the fruit of our doings. And he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Now, we've read a lot of Scripture, and we're going to continue to read a lot of Scripture because we're going to kind of let the Bible do the talking as we kind of let our fingers do the walking through the pages of the Bible, because the Bible is the best commentary of itself. And in the Scriptures, we're not going to have to look far to find out how God and what the basis of God's examination is in your life and in my life. Now, we're not going to get very far tonight, but we're going to get far enough to where to give us something to chew on until we gather again with our next study. Now, Father, bless our time, open our hearts, and teach us, we pray, from the Word of God. And we'll give you the glory for what shall be accomplished tonight. Move hearts, convict souls, and if there might be someone, anyone, does not know Christ as Savior, that tonight would be that night they'd come to that saving knowledge. And we'll give you the glory. What shall be accomplished tonight in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. The examination of God is much different than our examination or that of men. You see, God has complete access to our heart. Men don't. God has complete access to our mind. Men do not. God has complete access to our spirit. And so his examination in our life is going to be totally different than self-examination and the examination of men. You say, how is that, preacher? Well, let me say this. God also has access to something that I don't, nor do men have access to, and that is he has access to divine foreknowledge. Say, what's that? He has access to divine foreknowledge. That is a clear and certain perception of that which exists, listen now, before it happens. God has access to something you and I don't have access to. So in His examination process, guess what has to come into play? Foreknowledge comes into play in that examination of your life. You know, the word foreknowledge is only used a couple of times in the Bible. We're not going to turn there, but you can find it in Acts 2:23 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. But we are going to turn to Psalm 139. So take your Bible, find your place there in Psalm chapter 139. Now, this is an interesting psalm. My family kind of adopted this psalm years ago as kind of our family psalm. But I want you to look, if you would, in Psalm 139 and see if we can't detect some of the foreknowledge or some of the divine attributes of God. Everybody find your place. Psalm 139, verse number 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with how many ways? All my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Guess what, folks? He already knows what you're going to say before you say it. He already knows what you're thinking as you think it. You see, here we have a perfect illustration of divine foreknowledge, the all-knowing God. Now look what he says. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge. What knowledge is that? The knowledge of knowing every thought, the knowledge of knowing every word that slips out of the tongue and the mouth, or off the tongue and out of the mouth of every human being. The psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, guess what, folks? Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand hold me. You know, it almost sounds like you can't go anywhere without God knowing where you are. That's exactly what he's saying here. Turn that, look down, if you would, in verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written down, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means God knew you before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. He knew you before there was ever an intelligent thought that ever entered into your mind. You see, there's never been a time that you have not existed in the mind of God. And so we serve an almighty God who can examine based on His divine foreknowledge. Look, if you would, down in verse number 23. Look at verse 23. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Boy, isn't it amazing? That old heart comes in just about every time, doesn't it? He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So in God's examination here, the psalmist says, search me, O God. He says, in the searching process, see, in the examination, if there be any wicked way in me. You know, it won't take God long to find in most of our hearts some wicked way. You see, man has no concept nor ability to accomplish this divine attribute. It's called omniscience, folks. It's all-knowing. That's the reason the psalmist said that there's no way his mind could conceive these things as God displays them in the lives of men and women. You see, it's God's divine ability to see all time at once. Try to think about that for a second. That God sees all at once. Can I say to you tonight, church, that there can be no future time with God nor hiding place from His presence? Why? Because not only is He omniscient, He's omnipresent as well. You cannot find any place to get away from God. You say, I'll not go through that examination. Well, you might run from a doctor, but you're not running from God. See, you have a choice about whether you want to go to the doctor for an examination. You're not going to have any choice when it comes unto divine examination. You have no choice. You will be examined by God. Now, so the advantage that God has in His personal examination of our life now is that He can do a thorough examination based on what He already knows. He can take all past, present, and future to us and yet examine us based on His foreknowledge, based on His divine omniscience, based on His divine guidance and attributes. Now, we're going to look at several people that went through an examination by God. Now, if you've been saved any length of time, it doesn't take long to figure out when God's examining. Because normally, when the examination starts taking place, normally it's without question, your spirit knows an examination is taking place. And normally what God is looking for, like the psalmist said, if there be any wicked way in me. What God's trying to do is help us to be what we want to be. That's the reason He gave us the Spirit of God that lives in us, that cleaning agent within us to help us be what God designed us to be. Well, let's look at some illustrations in the Bible about people or from people that were examined by God. I think the easiest place to go is just go right back to the very beginning. How about that? Right back to the Garden of Eden. Would everybody agree with me that Adam and Eve kind of went through a divine examination? Oh yeah, they went through a divine examination. Adam and Eve went through an examination. And by the way, even though they denied the Lord and disobeyed God and did not do what He said, you know what He still did? He still provided a covering for them. You see, even in the examination process, you know what God extended to them? Grace. You know what He'll extend to you in the examination process? Grace as well. Because once He finds some things that shouldn't be there, many times we'll find that our divine God, our loving God, our graceful God will not give you what you deserve. And so in that examination process, Adam and Eve received, was provided covering. They were provided grace. You see, God exercised His foreknowledge, listen to me now, by keeping Adam and Eve from returning into the garden lest they eat of the tree of life. Take your Bible, go to Genesis 3. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 3. Now keep in mind, Adam and Eve now have been removed from the Garden of Eden. And in Genesis chapter 3, God gives them a covering and sends them out of the Garden of Eden. Look in chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. Now stop. The Lord had already told Adam and Eve that you may eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Guess what tree was in the garden? The tree of life. So now that they have been cast out, now that they have been disobedient to God, the examination process had to take place. And in the examination process, they were still provided grace in that examination. They were removed through the examination process out of that perfect environment, out of the Garden of Eden. And God said, now, what we're going to have to do is, He said that they told the man that he's become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live for, does your Bible say forever? Stop. He had already fallen. If he had gotten to the tree of life and eaten it, guess what would have happened? He had lived in that state forever. And so God, out of His divine grace, here's what He said in verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of what? What was he protecting them from? The tree of life. Because there, if they had made it back, they could have eaten and lived in a sinful state forever and ever. So what did God do through the examination process? What he did is he extended grace to them. Let me ask you folks, in the examination process, was God trying to hurt Adam and Eve? No, it was not. Did he help Adam and Eve? And you, everybody ought to say amen, because he helped you in the process. You see, the thing about it is he protected you as well in the process. You see, why? How could God examine Adam and Eve, keep them from getting back into the tree of life? I'll tell you why. Because he was able to examine them based on foreknowledge, because when they fell, he already knew there was a plan in place. And if they would have gotten back in and eaten the tree of life, messed the whole plan up, right? So he couldn't allow them back in to take of the tree of life. So based on his foreknowledge, he examined them, and guess what? Here we are today. And you better be glad that God extended grace in the examination process. Because you know what he could have said? He could have said, you know what? Man, it's Adam and Eve people. They messed everything up. You know what he could have done? He could have just melted them down and started totally over. But he didn't. They went through the examination process. He knew the plan of redemption was set, and he stopped them from ruining the plan of redemption. Take your Bible, go to Numbers 12. To show you somebody else that got examined by God. Numbers chapter 12. Remember old Moses? You know, Moses is a good guy in the Bible. He probably top five, wouldn't you say? Okay, well, he's top five on my list anyway. Right? He may not be on yours, but he's probably top five in the Bible. He didn't always make the right decisions, right? Can I say this to you, that even though when leadership don't always make the right decisions, it's probably not best that we begin to examine. We probably need to go ahead and let God do the examination process. Because what happened here, we're going to find brother and sister stepping into the place that wasn't theirs to step into. It was God's place. Look, if you would, Numbers 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aram spake against Moses, leadership, because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Stop. Should he have done that? No, he should not have. But he did. But it wasn't their job to speak out against leadership. Look what happened. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? And hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. You know why he heard it? Because he searches the heart of men. Oh, by the way, Jeremiah said he also rewards according to your way and according to the fruit of your doings. Guess what they did? They were about to be examined and rewarded based on their doings. They spoke out against the man of God. They spoke out against leadership. And what happened was leadership right? Absolutely not. But it wasn't their place to put the man of God under an examination process. When they spoke out against leadership, the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Let me tell you something, folks. When God calls you and says, you and you, out of everybody on planet Earth, you and you, come here. Sometimes it's not very good. Now, I don't know about you, but here's Aaron and Miriam. Do you think they might have had just a tiny inkling about what God wanted to discuss? Can I say to you, you know it when God says it's examination time. Because you know what he says? Come here. And you know when he says, come here. Remember when you were a kid when daddy said, come here. You knew what that finger meant, right? Get over here. And usually, when daddy did that, that was not usually a good sign. And normally, what happens is when God separates them out, it was not. And when he called them by name, said, get over here, I imagine they probably thought, oh my goodness, what have we done now? And he said, hear now my words, verse 6. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses, he is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Now, folks, you got to understand something. There's an incredibly important principle you got to understand here. Was Moses wrong? Did he make a bad decision? Yes. Was Aaron and Miriam dead wrong? Yes. Who did God side with, though? He decided with leadership. You've got to learn that principle. You want to get yourself in hot water with God, start messing with the things of God. Whether it be the man of God, the church of God, the book of God, you start messing with the things that God has ordained, you better be careful. Because you may have a Miriam or you may have an Aaron experience. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. He heard it, he spoke, he left. And they're standing there. Oh, what's going to happen? Well, let's look at what happened. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. I think probably once he saw that lepers, they kind of figured out what the problem was. But you know what they went through, folks? They went through an examination by God. And the examination that they went through by God was directly in connection with leadership. Be careful. I'm just telling you. Be careful about when you start messing with the things that God has ordained. Adam and Eve were examined. Aaron and Miriam were examined. May I say also to you, David was examined. And we're not going to read it, but you can go to Psalm 51, verse 4, and then verses 6 through 13, and you'll find there that he was examined intently. And you know what he kept saying over and over and over again? He kept saying, clean me, purge me. Give me a right spirit. Restore a right spirit within me. Why? Because David had committed sin and God had to examine him. But through the examination process, was David extended grace as well? Absolutely he was. Take your Bible, go to John 21. Let's look at a New Testament passage real quick. I told you we weren't going to get real far tonight. John 21. Okay, John 21 and verse 15. You'll recognize it when you get there. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Stop. You know what's happening here? He's being examined. You know what he's being examined on? I want to know, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your fishing business? Do you love me more than things? Do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than you love yourself? Peter was being examined by the divine hand of God in his life. Just like Adam and Eve were, just like Aaron and Miriam were, just like David was, Peter was being examined. And again in verse number 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was, does your Bible say, grieved? Because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You see, there it comes in again. God's examination. Because God examines based on all he knows, which includes his foreknowledge. You see, time is only past, present, and future to you and I. Time means nothing to God. Absolutely nothing. So in his examination process, he can examine everything and do it exactly the right way. And he says, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So here we have four different places, and there are many others in the Bible, that men and women were examined. And there's no question that God's examination is thorough, listen to me, and just. His examination will be thorough and just. Many in Scripture suffer great loss after God's examination. Achan suffered a great loss. He got thoroughly examined by God. Ananias and Sapphira, thoroughly examined by God. Both Achan lost his life and the life of his family and all his possessions. Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives. Why? After examination by God. You see, the thing about it is, God knew their heart. These people lost their lives while others lost possessions and others the favor of God. Remember, Moses went under an examination himself by God and lost the privilege of going into the promised land. Just as David lost the privilege of building the temple. And let me say something quickly here and we'll finish this up. I think we then can conclude, church, that after God's examination of our heart, our motives, and our lives, that His diagnosis of what He finds is true and just, listen now, in accordance to His will. He's going to examine according to His will. We're talking about the examination of God right now. Now, folks, there will be another examination of God later. But we're talking about the examination of God in our lives right now. You see, His examination will be true and just in accordance to His will. Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Now, folks, if He's not going to change for Adam and Eve, He ain't changing for you and I. If He didn't change for Aaron and Miriam, He's not changing for you and I. If He didn't change for David, by the way, I don't think anybody here has been called the apple of God's eye, have we? He didn't change him. I think the Bible calls that God is no respecter of persons. That means He put them through the same examination that He will put you and I through. Acts 10, verse number 34, the Scripture says, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And it says likewise again in Romans 2:11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." You see, God's examination will be just. It'll be true. It'll be exactly proportioned according to His Word. You see, in the best interest of His purpose and plan. Not in my best interest necessarily, but the best interest of His purpose and His plan is how He brings us into examination. Now, we're going to have to pull up there for tonight. But folks, I wanted to kind of get you thinking tonight, so get you some things to chew on. So when we meet together next week, we'll find out on what basis does God examine. What is the basis of His examination? And we're going to look at some things and some areas that you and I need to be aware of, that God's aware of and knows very well about our lives. Is God just? Absolutely. Is God graceful? Absolutely. Does God extend mercy? Absolutely. And He incorporates all these ingredients when He puts us through the examination process. You say, does God still examine today? I am the Lord, I change not. Is He still examining preachers today? Absolutely. Is He still examining people and members of the church today? Absolutely. And may I say, is He examining the church as a whole today? Absolutely He is. But in order to examine the church as a whole, guess what He's got to do? We're going to have to go through individual and personal examinations. Chew on this until we meet again next week. Father, would You bless us tonight? Thank You for the opportunity we've had to open the Bible, to study, to look at what You have for us. And Lord, yes, there should be personal and self-examination. Yes, Lord, we understand that there will be examination by men. But the most important thing tonight we've got to understand is there's one examination that supersedes them all, and that's the examination of an Almighty God. And Lord, as You look upon our hearts and search our hearts tonight and see if there might be any wicked way in us, and if so, Lord, would You clean our heart, restore a right spirit within us tonight. Whatever it may be, You do the examination. You're thorough. And I pray, Lord, whatever that we might have aught in our heart, whatever it may be, that tonight you would expose that to our heart. Or expose that to us, Lord, that we might be able to make it right and walk with you as you desire us to walk with you. And please have your way in this invitation time. I wonder if tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many can say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt."